Hey everyone.
I'm Angel from China.
And I'm Kun from the Netherlands. And from a sunny but windy Mostar, welcome to a new episode of the Bridge of Stories podcast.
We will interview students from the United World Colleges in Mostar about ongoing issues in their country to help you learn more about what's going on in the world.
So, Leigh, do you want to tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. So, my name is Leilani, and I am from Mexico. I am 18 years old, and well, I'm studying at UWC Mostar with you guys right now.
So, which city of Mexico you're from? That would be really important for the following part of the interview.
Well, I am from the capital. I am from Mexico City.
Yes. So, I see you wearing green and purple today. What's the implications behind those color choices?
Well, back in Latin America and the Caribbean, we use the purple color to symbolize the feminist movements and the demands and everything that involves around feminism in our countries, and then we use green to talk about like laws regarding abortion, and green is a color for abortion in Latin America in general.
So talking about abortion, can you tell us a bit about what happened in Mexico in these past few days?
Of course, abortion was depenalized throughout the entire country, which is a great step forward for the feminist movement and us as Mexicans and the community in general. We're still having to take a few more steps towards like advancing, but I think it's a very important step towards becoming like a more open community.
So what kind of implications will this have for the average Mexican?
Well, the thing is, abortion was not legalized, it was depenalized. So that implies that you might not go to a hospital to get an abortion, but if you do get an abortion, then there's not going to be any legal sanctions against it. But in certain states in the country, you're not going to find like the opportunity to legally get an abortion. Just you might still do it like in the down low, but if something happens and you need to go to the official security, it's not going to be penalized. So that gives a bit of more of a safety towards women in general in Mexico.
Okay, that's a victory of female rights. But did the Supreme Court or the central government just give implement a certain law to the whole country, or they just conduct the executive order towards only one region?
I think it was towards the entire country, because it was the 7th of September when it was finally done throughout, so it's probably the Supreme Court, probably right now in the Constitution, finally, a great step towards feminism and everything. And, well, yeah, it's important because throughout the country we usually do things throughout states, so states have like a bit of their own independence to do stuff. But like in general, they still have to follow the Constitution, obviously. So Mexico City, my country, my state, actually has legalized abortion in Mexico City. So that's great. But several other states might not necessarily still have it. So you can still be like blocked out of that. But now with this, you can finally like kind of still go to other places and not be sanctioned, which is obviously something that we're very excited about right now.
Exactly. So before the depenalization, if you got an abortion, would you run into any trouble with going to the hospital?
More than likely, yes. It's a very complicated experience. You have to do it in very unorthodox places. There's always the danger of doing it by yourself as well. Through medicines, I heard several stories regarding girls that used to grab clothes hangers, and try to get the abortion in their own, or take medication that they had to give themselves that was not necessarily for abortions, but if taken in sufficient dose, it would help them get an abortion. And actually several feminist groups like online, Facebook and Instagram and stuff, used to upload different notes regarding like what can you do to get an abortion you by yourself, but it always brought a lot of risks on health and in the like mental and physical health of somebody, and the mortality rate for those things is ginormous. So right now that this is a bit more of a legal, depenalized thing, we're having like more support regarding helping girls survive these situations. The problem is that we still are not legalized, you know, so like they still have to go somewhere and get that stuff done illegally and always suffer the risk of something else happening to them. And well, obviously demands and necessities are always changing and evolving, so right now I think the next step we have to take as a country is just going forward.
So before, if you're seeking for abortion, that makes you a criminal, but now you're not a criminal anymore, but you still don't have a legit way to seek for help. Yeah. Okay, so how do people domestically react to it? I know internationally there's a lot of voices like supporting like female rights, but is there any like opposition voice inside Mexico?
Yeah, I think in general you'll always find opposition. I think mainly several, at least my friends and my family, are very excited about it. The feminist groups that I was part of back in my other high school are very excited about it. General groups that lead the marches and the riots and everything back in Mexico are super excited, but there's always several different states that are a bit more, closed. So like their minds don't necessarily like the idea. Yeah, very conservative. Okay. They don't really like the idea of that going through that. A lot of several political parties, a lot of religious groups as well, men that believe they have like a say in all of this also are very against it. Several very religious women as well, or simply women that have been raised in. So it's always gonna be like, you know, a problem in opposition. But the important part, I think, is that by opening new doors, people can get a glimpse of how this is helping more than hurting. And even though you have different views, I think the general consensus is that we want to keep our sisters, our mothers, our friends safe and secure, and that they have a way to reach to somebody so that nothing like truly happens and they're a bit more safe within ourselves.
So how come this change got introduced now? Were there any civil rights movements or protests in favor of abortion legalization?
I mean, recently, the most recent one I can think of was the 8th of March, the Women's Day. There was a bit of a movement. This is a couple of years ago, but it has been like still going a bit forward like the last couple of years. I think it was 2018, 2019, a couple of girls, a lot of women actually, throughout Mexico, on the 8th of March, decided I'm disappearing, you know? I'm not going to work, I'm not gonna go out, I'm not gonna buy stuff. I want you to see the impact we as women have on the economical aspect of Mexico, in the political aspect of Mexico, in the domestic and daily life of Mexico, you know? What would happen if your stay-at-home mom didn't cook for you? What would happen if your other co-workers didn't go to school with you, you know? Like, most girls in your classroom would not attend. At least in my school, a lot of teachers didn't go, a lot of students didn't go. And the thing it wasn't something that was sanctioned throughout the country, you know? It was something that we did. We got a lot of faults. We got penalizations in our works and in our schools. A lot of women weren't paid that day. So it was about, like, going and showing, like, even though, like, I don't need your permission to do this, and I want you to realize that we have a lot of impact in our country. So usually there are a lot of marches throughout Mexico and riots and movements and a lot of feminists just going forward and talking, and a lot of there's been a lot of graffiti monuments and painting on streets and breaking windows, and a lot of people are against that, but it has also drawn attention to what we want, what we desire, and what we're looking forward to. So the fact that we're having eyes on us just kind of moves everything forward. And there has been also a couple of laws that have like gone forward called Law Olimpia and Law Ingrid. That's more of a series of legislative and constitutional reforms that protect women in violence against gender, and also like cyber security. So like if you take nudes or photos of you in different, like a very risky situation, you know, and you share it, and then that person shares it, now you are protected by the law, and you can go and like ask for demands and laws that protect you, and you can actually go and erase everything that's on the cloud, and the person that shared and the other people that share the photo, now that that they also can get penalized and again they can go to jail, they can be fined. So they started being like a couple of steps that just like moved us forward to where we are right now.
Okay, so this time's success can be attributed to people's fighting and appealing, but of course the Supreme Court plays a really important role in this political affair. So what's the composition of the court is like? Is there like more liberals or more conservatives? And how many of the judges are women actually?
I actually don't know how many of the judges are women. I know that currently our government is not the most liberal government we have. A lot of the people in law are not necessarily very active towards that. Actually, our president right now is a bit of a... so it has a bit of a problem, you know, understanding feminism and women's rights and equality and stuff. But I think there's been a couple of very dedicated women throughout everything that have just pushed forward and gone and gone and gone. I know of a couple of deputies or senators that have actually been like very in what we should do, what we should move, what we should say, so that everything just kind of goes and goes and goes. And there's also a couple of parties that are very like liberal, I guess, into, I don't know, green energy and opening up equality and helping immigrants and stuff. So you're just kind of a bit open. Oh, obviously, like right now, I don't know if it's the majority of the minority. I would say it's practically the minority. But I think the sounds and the noise they're making and everything that's just like strong and passionate and just going one after the other, just has created like this opportunity for us to actually move and create new stuff that will help women and help us reduce violence against them and keep them secure.
So if it were your choice, what do you think should be next in terms of women's rights and constitutional changes?
Well, definitely legalizing abortion, obviously. But I think we should also focus on the wage gap that is very explicit. Currently with COVID, domestic violence has been very predominant. So I guess we should also like work on solving those situations. There's actually help towards single mothers right now, but I think we should like kind of give them a bit more support in that aspect. there's been a lot of feminicides in Mexico, and they have been like very wide and spread and have become a bit of more of a reality. I think 8 to 10 women in a day die because of feminicides in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So we need to create ways to protect them and to be certain that that's not going to become something as constant and as normal as it is right now, because it's certainly something that it's occurring daily, and it's a very difficult subject to approach because it could be anybody you know, it could be yourself, it could be anything. So I think that mainly feminicides would be a very important step to take and just protect us and protect little girls and adolescents and old women and just everybody in general, because it's a very active thing in Mexico that we really need to help solve.
So other than the abortion, femicides is also another factor that affecting women's security within Mexico. But other than those two, what else do you think that should be improved in terms of female rights?
Well, like I said, work, wages, it's very, very important. I'm aware that a lot of people like close to me that have very important jobs, they don't get the same salary as somebody that's equally in the same post, you know, or a lot of harassment as well in workspaces and schools. That's also something that's very prominent. The high school I was in was very famous for covering up harassment and assault issues within the school.
Covering up?
Yes, especially if they were part of the American football team, because our team, like our school, is known for their team. So if somebody went and demand or said something about one of their star athletes, it was more than likely being covered up, or a teacher as well, because it's also kind of a prestigious school. So it's not very good for the image, you know? So I think that also happens in a lot of public schools. I wasn't a private school, but a couple of friends that I have in public school have told me about their situations, you know, that they have lived, people close to me. that have never actually gone forward to the police or to school representatives or anything of the sorts. So we are taking gigantic steps for certain stuff, but we also need to work on the stuff that happens daily and that we have truly normalized.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with us today, Lenani. It was very interesting to hear about the situation in your country, and we hope to see more improvements in the future towards women's rights.
Of course, thank you very much for having me.
Next week, we're talking with Maria about the reverse situation in Texas, where abortion above 6 weeks has just been made illegal.
For now, thank you for joining, and see you next week.